The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
That kind of puts things in perspective for you, doesn't it, when you see that? I thought the most poignant one was the giving thanks and for a home. Saw that beautiful home guy cutting the lawn, and then the next we saw folks living out in the bush in Africa, you know, just with not much of a home at all. So, Brother Don, can we have a little light? There we go. There's a new word, actually, that's crept into our society, and it's replaced the word thanks. And the new word is entitlement. You know, we seem to be permeated with the concept of we're entitled to certain things. Everyone believes that I have a right to something, and they'll name it. Of course, if you've looked at the news at all, unless you're living in a vacuum, health care. I'm entitled to health care, you know. You must provide that for me. I'm entitled to food. You must give me food. I'm entitled to happiness. You must make me happy. I'm entitled to education. I'm entitled to prosperity. And then the biggest one of all is I'm entitled to what my neighbor has. Whatever they have, I'm entitled to have just as much as they have. The first people who inaugurated Thanksgiving I had a different perspective about being thankful. They were thankful just to be alive. They were thankful to have food of any kind. They were thankful just to have some kind of shelter from the elements. They were thankful just to know God. What's happened to us? Where did we go wrong? Where did we turn the corner? You ever notice when you go to a store these days and you buy something and you take out your hard-earned money and give it to them, or you use your credit card or whatever it be, and they all say, "Have a nice day." What's that? How's about thank you? Well, thank you for spending your money here. Thank you for patronizing my store. You know, it's not their business what kind of day I have. They ought to be thankful I went there and spent money. They got jobs because I spend my money there. You know, they figure they're entitled to the money, you know, because I'm just supposed to go there and just give it to them because I have such a generous heart. So I want us to spend a little time this morning looking at why we should be thankful. Well, some of the reasons why we should be thankful. And first of all, you should be thankful because you're standing on someone's shoulders. You're standing on someone's shoulders. And I want us to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other." I know that this passage of Scripture is used, and very rightly so, as it's talking about the relationship in a church and elders who have rule, but I think it has a greater application to realize that we're standing on someone else's work. It's what someone else has done. Wherever you're standing in life, I want you to know you're standing on somebody else's shoulders. You know, the guy who wrote the book Roots has a painting on his wall behind his desk, and it's a painting of a country fence with a fence post, and there's a turtle sitting on top of that fence post. And somebody asked him, "What's the meaning of that?" He said, "I just like to remind myself that I didn't get here by myself. You know, somebody put me here, you know." And so where we are, we stand on someone else's shoulders. The pilgrims, when they came here and they established this great nation, they did it because of religious freedom. They believed that they could have religious freedom, that they didn't have to live under the oppression of a religious organization. And they left their families. You know, we don't like to leave for a week. You know, I don't like it when I don't see my family for just a couple of months. You know, I'm very family-oriented. How'd you like to leave your family forever? Never see mom and dad again. Never see the aunts and uncles and cousins and brothers and sisters. But they felt that religion, freedom of religion, was so important that they were willing to leave their families behind. They believed in freedom so much, they believed in religious freedom so much, that they demanded that the Bible be the standard of life. The standard of life. Our pinheads in Washington and around this country have determined that the Bible can't be read, you can't pray, you know, and I don't want to go through that whole litany of things again, but if the pilgrims could come out of their grave, they'd put their Bibles down and pick up their guns to do something about it. They gave all for the truth of this word. It guided their entire lives. Much of what is wrong with our lives is our lives are guided by media advertising instead of being led and guided by the Word of God. Don't answer this question, but think about this. How much in proportion to your life, how much time do you spend in the Word of God, in a relationship with God, or in front of some kind of media entertainment, be it a television, be it a movie, be it a book? And you want to know why your mind's all screwed up. You know, you wonder why you got so many problems. Because we've abandoned what our founding pilgrims' religious freedom believed when they got here. They refused to compromise the Scriptures. They believed in Christ and Christ alone. They believed in salvation by Christ and Christ alone. And if you've got any thoughts of being saved any other way, you are going against what the pilgrims believed when they came to this nation. that it's by Christ and Christ alone. It's nothing that you can do. You can't be good enough to attain heaven. You can't be bad enough to go to hell. It's not about what you do or your behavior. It's about your position in Jesus Christ. Are you a born-again believer? If you are, you are secure in the work that Jesus Christ did. Not about your behavior. Your behavior will get you in trouble, but it won't get you in hell when you're born again. It's about our position in Christ. They died for what they believed. They died by the droves. The first pilgrims that came, I think there was about 300 came over in the first boatload, and of that 300, when another group came to find them, there were less than 50 of them, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly. They died for what they believed. And you think that 50 would have went home, but no, they didn't want to go back. They didn't want to go back where they came from. That it was good enough to stay here for. They were starving to death. You get upset if we have to have a fast for 3 days. They were starving. They didn't have any food. There wasn't any Winn-Dixie or 7-Eleven or Time Saver or anything else around. They had no food. You got to remember that most of these people didn't know how to take care of themselves in the way they had to take care of themselves in this nation. If it wouldn't have been for the Indians, they would have starved to death. The Indians showed them how to plant corn and how to have a harvest. You know what they used corn for in Europe at that time? Feed animals. People never ate that stuff. They found out that it was good to eat, keep you alive. They showed them how to fertilize, how to get a fish and put a fish down in the ground with the seeds and to fertilize it to grow so they could have some food and try to live off of that. And, you know, it just was so hard. They were in danger every day of whether or not they'd live or die or have enough for the day or have fresh water. You know, and why? So that you could be here today and enjoy the benefits of a Christian nation. That's what they did. And that's you. If you want to be thankful for something, thank the pilgrims for what they did. Thank goodness it wasn't the armies that came first, but it was the pilgrims that came and established this great nation. You want to be thankful for your founding fathers, the ones who signed that declaration, who said, we do these things and we write our name under here and we pledge our lives, our fortunes, in our most sacred honor. And they paid a heavy price for that. You know, that sounds pretty, you know, nice to say that in church and we do it around the 4th of July and all that. You got to understand, when they put their name on there, they just signed their death warrant. They believed that they'd be hung. There was a death warrant. King George put out a mandate. They were to be caught and hung by the neck until dead. Most of them lost their fortunes. Most of them lost their lives or their families' lives. The young man went to war and died for that. So that you could be here to have this free nation. Don't we owe them some gratitude and some thanks to stand up for them, for what they did? And to say, thank you guys? Maybe some kind of way through the Holy Spirit that gets back to them in heaven where they hear you saying, thank you guys. Thank you. We need to thank the military. From George Washington on the Potomac and the army of that suffered so much at Valley Forge, to David Petraeus in Iraq, to every man, woman who puts on the service uniform and goes to war for us. You'll be thanking those guys. There's a reason to be thankful. We've got so much to be thankful for. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves for complaining. You know? Say, well, I'm entitled to something. You're entitled to nothing. Somebody paid every price for you to have what you have and to take care of it. You know, you ever done this with a kid? Most of you have children. You ever have something that's really precious to you and maybe it came down as a family heirloom and you gave it to your kids and they didn't take care of it? How make you feel? Yeah, feel just rotten. They're ungrateful little brats. I wonder if we're unfaithful little brats. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for what I have. Thank you for what you did. I was looking at, some of you may have seen it, They had a special on this past week, and I'm sure it'll be repeated on History Channel. Showed some films of World War II I'd never seen. Of the carnage of that war. They showed the first flights going into England, into Germany, in those fortresses, those flying fortresses. They had a crew of about 10 men on board. They were flying at around 30,000 feet, not in a pressurized cabin that you're used to, but a place where the temperature got down to as much as 60 below inside those planes. They had to find ways to keep their equipment working. They had to find ways so that they wouldn't touch the metal and the hands freeze to it, which it did on occasion. And they, when they went into battle, one of the first squadrons that went in, they lost over 460 aircraft. That's almost 5,000 men dead. 5,000 men dead for us. They went into places like we had never heard of before, little atolls out in the middle of the Pacific, places like Tarawa, where they couldn't get the landing craft close enough to the beach. They had to walk, if you want to call it walking, through the surf for 7,000 yards under enemy fire. They lost more men in that beach attack than they did at D-Day. When they went into France. Incredible carnage. People who died so you could be here today. I think we owe them some thanks. We owe them some thanks. Thank you. Stop griping and start being thankful for what we have. We need to be thankful for our church fathers, those who made sure that we have churches on every corner in this great nation. People complain about that. We got too many churches, man. I'm glad we got churches. I like it when we have more churches and service stations. You know? Oh, ballrooms. Thank God for the churches. Thank God for the men and women in our town who see to it that we've got places where we can go to on Sunday. Somebody paid a price for that. In fact, some of you're paying a price. You know, I've asked you to pay a price for this new adventure we're going on in this this new vision that the Lord's given us to bring the gospel to the world. I'm asking you to pay a price. You may not live to see the whole thing come to pass, but I'm telling you, it is a God thing that will touch the world. I believe that with all my heart. There were men and women of vision, just like you, who paid a heavy price so that we could be here today and enjoy what we have. It was done. There's a long trail that leads all the way back to the cross. Thank God for the faithful men and women in churches who do all the things that need to be done, from making coffee to cleaning the floors to teaching the kids to decorating the place to spending their hard-earned money, listening to preachers like me saying it's time to pay up, show up with your checkbook. If you can't show up with your checkbook, show up with your jewelry, you know? Thank God for those men and women who did that. Be thankful for your immigrant forefathers who left wherever they were to come here so you could be here. You're none of you, as far as I know, are Native Americans. You had somebody who left wherever they were and came here so that you could be here to live in this great nation. Listen, with all of our troubles, it's still the greatest nation in the world. No matter what the guys in Washington are doing, I believe the nation's great enough to withstand it. So far, we've been able to do it for some 200 and odd years. Hopefully, we can keep going long enough for me to die. No, I didn't mean that. But it's a great nation. Be thankful for those who came here with a vision of the way things could be. You've heard me say I'm close enough at being a second generation immigrant into this nation. And I remember asking my dad, did Grandpa ever want to go back? And he said, Grandpa didn't leave anything to go back for. You know, it wasn't that he came here and then every couple of years got on a plane and flew home. He came here and never went back. Never saw his mom and dad again. Brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, cousins, neighbors. Ever gone forever out of his life. He carved out a new life so that I could stand here today and enjoy the benefits of this great nation. Thank God for him. There's so much to be thankful for. I mean, we gripe and lament about how bad things are, and we all bellyache about things. But I'm telling you, there's a lot to be thankful for if we just stop and think about it for a little while. I'll give you another reason why you should be thankful. Your life could get worse. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Now, brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. The next telephone call you'll get might change your life forever. You got a telephone call, didn't you, Aaron? It's a couple of days ago. You know, mother was in an automobile accident. That'll change your life. That'll get your worry wart going. That'll make you wonder what's going to happen and think that somebody you love could be gone, could be hurt, could be maimed. You don't know what that next telephone call is going to be. I heard a guy saying on TV this morning while I was getting dressed, he said, don't forget the things in the darkness that you learned in the light. The truth you learn in the light, because the days of darkness come and things can change very quickly. Start being thankful for what you have, not for what you want. Be a thankful person, a grateful person. Put your mindset in that. Enjoy where you are for the moment. If you can get out of bed and walk, thank God you got out of bed and walked. If you could go to church, thank God you got a church to go to. If you still know your name, be thankful that you know your name. If you still got two arms, be thankful you got them. Well, you could lose one in a hurry. Be thankful. There's a guy by the name of David Ring, I believe his name is. He has cerebral palsy, and he's got a great sermon. If you ever want to, you can probably get it off the internet. It's called Quit Your Belly Aching. You know, we bellyache so much and forget to be thankful. Look at your hands. If you can move your hand, be thankful that it moves. If you can lift your arm up all the way, be thankful. Mike can't lift one of his arms up all the way. You know? Let me tell you about being thankful. Things can change in a heartbeat. Paul was thankful. He said, I've learned to be content in everything. How did he do that? He learned to be thankful. He said, in whatever state I'm in, he said, I'm content. He said, I've learned to enjoy abundance, and I've learned to enjoy poverty. It doesn't matter to me anymore, Paul said. I'm just thankful all the time. They locked him up, threw him in a prison, put him in chains, put him in the darkest part of the prison, and we all know the story. What did they hear? They heard Paul and Silas singing songs. How did you do that, Paul? Paul had a thankful heart. See, don't let circumstances determine your attitude about who you are and where you are in life. Circumstances change too quickly. They change. You know, you could be on a mountaintop today and you can be in a pits tomorrow. Or you may be in a pits today, you can be on a mountaintop tomorrow. It doesn't matter where we are. It only matters in whose we are. And they have an attitude of thankfulness. Thank you, God. Where I am, I follow the admonition of Paul. I talked to my son Friday, I guess it was. He called me, and he's had a real bad year. He was executive vice president of a nice corporation, making lots of money, and the other partners decided to get rid of him, and they fired him today. You know, he went from the top of the hill to no hill at all. He spent 6 months looking for a job. It's hard to find those kinds of jobs, you know. He finally got a job. He's making half the pay he was making before. But he's trusting the Lord all through it. He's just trusting the Lord, trusting the Lord, trusting the Lord. And I talked to him, and he said, Pop, he said, I really understand now that scripture you told me about Matthew 6:33. He said, it's my favorite. He said, seeking God first in the kingdom. He said, I found God can take care of all the rest of it. I thought to myself, I'm glad he learned that. That's the one I want chiseled on my tombstone. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Don't worry about food and raiment and shelter and all those things. Heavenly Father knows you have need of them. Be thankful for where you are and what you have. When you're passionate about the kingdom, the world will lose its value. Passionate about the kingdom, the world will lose its value. I ask you to give to this new vision the Lord's given me. Where's your passion? Is it in your checkbook? Or is it in the work that God's called us to do as a body of believers? I believe we're assembled together as a body of believers to do a work here. I really do. I believe God's pared us down. I believe we're the remnant that God's called to do this work. I guess maybe some others just couldn't stand the heat. But you can. I believe God's calling you to stand the heat and to pay the price. The labor, the vision, the learning, the excitement, the joy of it all. Be like Jesus. Jesus said that the scripture said, Pat quoted it, I think it was Wednesday night, for the joy set before him, he despised the shame and endured the cross. The joy was you. He had a vision. He saw things as they could be and would be. That's what we see, things as they could be and can be and will be. Be passionate. When's the last time you were passionate about something? I mean, really passionate about it. And you burned with it. And you go to bed with it on your mind and on your heart. And you wake up and on your mind and on your heart and you dream about it. And all your waking moments is to accomplish that great task for God. When's the last time you got passionate about something? Or is it just another day in the kingdom? Or do you really care enough to really do something beyond yourself? To do something beyond yourself. Being passionate. Let me tell you some facts. Fact of life. I'm old enough to tell you this. There'll always be people who are better off than you are. I live in one of the nicest neighborhoods in Slidell. And I'm thankful for it. My house looks like a cottage compared to some of those places. They got some really rich people back there. They think I'm poor. I'm not poor. They think I am. You know what? But they got people living in my neighborhood who don't have as much as I have. No matter where you go, you're going to find that to be true. And if your happiness is based on trying to keep up with those proverbial Joneses, you're going to be miserable all of your life. You can't keep up with them. But you need to turn around and look at those who don't have what you have. You know that old proverb, my dad used to quote it a million times. My mom too. They were in harmony and stereo on this one. You know, I was concerned because I didn't have any shoes and I met a man that didn't have any feet. You know, just looking around and enjoying who you are and where you are. You got a great life. You saw some of the things we saw in that little video. People with nothing. We complain because the water's not hot enough. They don't even have any water. Well, it's just hot water. We complain about a house isn't big enough. They don't even have a house. Complain about our clothes aren't new enough. They don't have any clothes. Complain because our shower is too small in the house. They didn't have a shower. It's all a matter of perspective. I mean, it does us good every once in a while to think about these things. We just realize how blessed we are. We're blessed beyond measure. Take our blessings and enjoy them. You ever get something and enjoy it for 5 minutes and then start looking for something else to get your joy out of? How many of you went into debt and bought that new car? Then you found out it wasn't as good as you thought it was. Especially when you had to bring it back to the dealer. And you found that the guy in the mechanic area didn't care much about you. Only the salesman cared about you until he got your money. Then you went to see the salesman and he doesn't even know your name. Things of life can't give you joy. They can't give you that sense of well-being. They're just things that, you know, become useless. I got to tell you, that's one of my big problems. Confession's good for the soul. I'm always looking for the next thing I can plug in the wall. I'm telling you the truth. You know, it's not, you know, what I have now isn't good enough because there's a new one. I've got a great laptop computer, a good Apple computer. I really like it. And we got this new one for the church. And I thought, darn, that one's got a battery that goes for 7 hours and mine only runs for 4. wonder if I can get mine fixed so it'll run for 7 hours. How crazy is that, Mike? How crazy is that? We do that all the time. We do it all the time, wanting something else. I'll tell you a funny story. A church I used to go to, I just started attending that church, and they invited me to preach, and I was preaching, and I was used as an illustration when they used to have Kmart in town, and they had a little blue light. I don't know if y'all remember the blue light special. They'd run that blue light, man. People would run, man. They looked like, man, rats going after a piece of cheese. I mean, going, that blue light. I made comment about that. I said, you know what that blue light's there for? To make you buy without thinking. And when I said it, everybody kind of didn't respond the way that I expected them to respond. And they kind of looked around and said, is there something here that I don't know? And one of them said, yeah, he's the manager of Kmart. I said, isn't it true? Isn't that why you use that blue light? He said, it's absolutely true. Make you buy on impulse. So without even thinking about it. Looking for that next breath of happiness that you can get. And forgetting to be thankful for what you already have. The way it is. The end may come soon and you may be left behind. You think you got an escape mechanism. Well, you know, the end will come, the end time will come, the Antichrist will be revealed, but me and my family, we're getting raptured out of here. You hope. You hope. I was looking at those films of World War II and seeing poor people, just like you and me, who had houses, bank accounts, had all the things that you and I have, and they were in rubble. Not in Germany, but in England. Well, they're pulverized by the German army who sent in planes day after day. And everything they held of value had disappeared. Disappeared. Going through hard times. I mean, you don't know, folks. You know, have fun today. Well, you can. Rejoice in today. Be thankful for today. Because tomorrow may not be a good day at all. I like to remember the good days. I like to remember when I was young. I could pop up on and run where I wanted to go. Now I just kind of creep up and crawl where I'm going. But I'm thankful I can get there. All right, third thing I want to talk to you about this morning is your gratitude must be directed to God. It must be directed to God. Let's go back to our text for this morning. Look at it again. Be joyful always. Does that hurt? Thinking about your life and what you do, and are you fulfilling that scripture of being joyful always? Are you praying continually? Or just when you're in trouble? You know? Do you give thanks in all circumstances? You know what the last part of this verse says? Everybody's looking for the will of God. What does that say? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know what God's will is? There it is. As clear as can be. Be joyful, pray, and give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So now, for the rest of your life, you don't have to worry about what God's will is. That's it. That's it. That's pretty easy. Pretty easy to remember. I want to show you a video that kind of speaks a little bit more about this very subject. How do you like that? Thanksgiving instead of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving instead of Thanksgiving. God's will is for you is to be thankful because He's entitled to it. You talk about entitlement? He's entitled to your thanks. And we should be thanking Him. He paid the ultimate price in order for you to have the ability to be thankful. If you want to know whose shoulders you're standing on, I didn't say this before, but I want to capsulize it at the end. We're standing on God's shoulders. We're standing on the shoulders of Jesus Christ, who paid a great price so that we could have this eternal life and this awesome life that we have. We seem to be such an ungrateful church. We're always looking for something else. You know, look at, we're keeping track of how many people here, how much money is here. You know, we get dissatisfied if the crowd isn't big enough, and I'm talking to myself, not you. And instead of being thankful for what we have. I'm thankful you're here. Sometimes I have to remind myself, I'm so glad you came. I don't know about the other ones. They're not here. Some of them I know where they are. But the other ones aren't here. But I'm thankful that you came. That you were able to get out of bed today. You were able to show up. I know Evans would like to be here. He's called. He's sick. He can't make it. I know Miss Barbara would be here. She's out visiting her family. So she'd like to be here if she could. And there are others who'd like to be here if they could. And they can. Be thankful. Be thankful for what we had. He paid a price for us. We try to interpret the Scripture according to the way our way of life. Instead of being thankful for the Scriptures say about our life the way that it should be. A life full of peace. A life filled with a sense of well-being. A life filled with grace. That's what God provided for us. What we've done, listen to this, if you don't hear anything else I'll say today, we've turned happiness into idolatry. It's an idol. We want to be happy. Oh, if I could just be happy. You'll never be happy here. This is not a happy place. This is a hard place. It's filled with glimmers of light because of Christ Jesus and what He does for us. This is not happiness. This is a place of peace, a place where we can have joy, a place where we can have the fruits of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives. But this is not a happy place. There's a lot to be unhappy about. And if you're looking for circumstances to make you happy, you'll never be happy. But if you look to Christ, you'll have a sense of well-being in the midst of what's going on. Amen. Like one of the songs we sang, Mike just sang that song as we were worshiping the Lord about, you know, things that can happen and change that can happen and be thankful for where we are and what we have. Thankful for Christ and the life that we have in Him. I'll tell you what, I've learned that bad circumstances come and good circumstances come, and there are happy days and sad days. But one thing I've discovered in serving the Lord since 1972, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I don't have to worry about Him. He doesn't change His mind. He keeps loving me. And if I just pay attention to Him, He showers me with blessings beyond measure. You ever find yourself sometime during the day saying, "Oh, hey, God, I forgot about you." You ever do that? You're so busy, and then you suddenly get just a moment, a little glimmer, and say, "Gee, God, I didn't mean to be so rude." Jesse Duplantis told a story. Jesse, to those of you who know Jesse, and I don't question his theology, but you know, he's an interesting guy to listen to. He told a story. He was in his office, and he had a busy day scheduled, and he was praying for to get ready for the day. He said, "I just sense that God wasn't happy." Now, I don't know how you figure that, but that's what he said. And so he said, "Jesus, is something wrong?" And he said that the Lord said, "Jesse, you know, things, you know. Things don't always go the way I'd like them to go." And Jesse said, "I'll tell you what, Lord. I'll just spend some time with you until you get to feeling better." And he said, "Lord," said, "well, that'd be nice, Jesse." He said, he got on the phone, told his secretary, "Cancel my day. I'll be in my office the rest of the day." He said, "I just spent time talking to the Lord, trying to cheer Him up. I don't question the theology of this, just listen to the heart of a man." He said, after a couple hours, he said he heard in his spirit a sigh. He said, "Thank you, Jesse, I feel better now. So you can go about your business." I said, "Well, good, Lord. I'm glad you're feeling better." said, he told his secretary, let's pick up the schedule today and we'll get going. Now that might, don't look at the theology of that. Listen to the story of a heart behind it. A heart that cared enough about God to spend time with him. We're so busy asking God for anything, we never think about God. You know, he's a person too, you know. You think God's happy about everything that goes on in our world? You think there were times he wakes up and said, I should have finished them off back then when I had a chance. But he didn't because he loves us so much. You ever think you could cheer up God's day? He might cheer up God's day if you just be in a good mood and be thankful. Say, oh, gee, I'm so glad you're thankful today. Makes my day. All I've been doing for you, I've been doing a lot of stuff, you just wasn't paying any attention. I've been showering blessings upon you, you didn't notice it. I've been causing the rain to come. I've been causing the sun to shine. I've been causing food to be on your table. I've caused you to have health for today. I've caused you to have a good day. It's me. And I did it all for you. You're the joy that was set before me. I did it all for you. Have a good day. And you can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for today. Thank you for the day that you have given to me. We're created in Christ Jesus to be doing good works, not to be happy. And then we're doing those good works, we give glory to God. You think it's easy to pack up every week and bring food down to the Ninth Ward and feed people sometimes who aren't grateful to you? But people are doing it. Why are they doing that? I didn't ask anybody to do that. Why are they doing it? It's in their heart to do it. It's the Spirit of God moving in a person's heart. And they wouldn't give you $1 million for the experience of doing it. Is it easy? No. Not easy. But it's a sense of joy, a sense of well-being. You know one of the reasons that you're not experiencing a sense of joy and happiness and well-being in your life? Because you're not doing anything for God. One of the best things you do is get a job. In fact, I'm going to give you some jobs. Since there's such a few of us, and we got such an ambitious task to do, and since Mike is in charge of recruiting people, at the meeting yesterday, I told him, I'm going to write up some job descriptions of people that I know that we need. And so we're going to be putting out some job descriptions you can apply for. And if you don't apply, we will come see you. Me and Mike. We will get you. Because you're going to work. We have work that needs to be done. And the more I get into this, the more things I see that need to be done. And you might say, well, I don't have the talent. We'll train you. Stop thinking sticks and stones and start thinking high tech. It's a new world coming, all right? And we're going to fix you up. Your family won't even recognize you when we get finished with you next year, all right? And the things that you've learned, the things that you know how to do. This is going to be so much fun, Mike. I can see some of their faces you don't see. They're saying, oh, no, please don't throw me in that briar patch. As Burr Rabbit used to say. Yeah. There you go, 12-hour day praying, or you can be on the high-tech working on a computer, all right? We're going to work this out. This is going to be so much fun to do. We need a refreshing, and the way you get a refreshing is by seeking the kingdom of God. Make that your focus. Make that your focus, seeking the kingdom of God. A video I showed Wednesday night showed something that just was startling. Talked about John Wesley. When John Wesley died, after 53 years of ministry, he had an equivalent of $6. It was a buck. It was actually an English pound, but it's a dollar for each one of his pallbearers. He had 6 silver spoons. I don't know what that was all about, but that's what he had. He had a robe that he preached in, that he preached all over Europe in, and he had a Bible, and that's what he died. That's all he owned in the world, except for the fact he established orphanages all over the known world. He established churches all over the place, led God only knows how many millions of people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and established the still going Methodist Church. And he died with $6, 6 spoons, a robe and a Bible, and a legacy that goes on to this very day. Want to be a part of a legacy? There's a chance. Be part of a legacy. We're embarking on a great adventure to reach the world. A great adventure to reach the world. So it's impossible. Certainly it's impossible in the natural. But us together, in the power of God, in the vision of God, and the resources of God, will reach out and touch people around the world. In fact, in your bulletin next week, you will see a list of just a few of the places that we're already reaching through a place that some of you never heard of a couple of weeks ago called Facebook. People outside, how many foreign countries, Jack? You remember? I'll just name them that you can remember.
Korea,
Australia, Hawaii, Philippines,
New Zealand,
Germany,
Hong Kong,
England. Wow. In 2 weeks we did that. We're not even doing anything yet. We're just testing the system out. We're just trying to see what we can do. Awesome. Just awesome. Just awesome. Reaching out and touching the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you thankful you can be a part? Or are you grumbling about it all? Have you thought about saying, thank you, God, you counted me worthy to put my hand to the plow and be a part of this. Thank you, God, I'm here. Thank you, I'm here for this moment. Thank you, I can say like Esther, maybe I was born for just a time as this. Maybe this is why I'm supposed to be here. I've got to tell you, I told Pat yesterday, I feel like I've wasted the last 10 years. I didn't know where we were going. But it was all part of the preparation. Now I know where we're going. I know what God's called us to do. Who we are. I wouldn't have dreamed it 10 years ago. But I see it today. The pieces of the puzzle had to come to place. Pray about what God would have you to do. Pray about writing your checks. I want you to pray about it. And then I want you to pray like everything depended on God. And I want you to write like everything depended on you. Write those checks. We've got a ways to go. I don't know what I'm going to do on December 31st if we don't have the $30,000. But I think I might have to go on my word. And my word said that if we didn't have it, we wouldn't go forward. I'll tell you what, right now, I told the group yesterday, everything, we're not doing anything that spends any money. We needed to get a new computer. That was just part of something we were done anyway. But we're not tearing down any walls. We're not building anything until the funds come in. When the fund comes in, if they come in on December the 1st, we'll be ripping out stuff on December the 2nd. All right? So that's the deal. You say, well, I don't know how we're going to do that, Pastor Marshall. I don't know how we're going to do it either. But that's where we are. And if God needs to talk to me differently about that, you be in prayer about it, all right? You need to be praying. I know Mike's got some prayers lined up, so be in prayer. This is a big thing, and when I get back in town, plan on talking about it quite extensively. Quite extensively. You're going to hear about this for some time because we need to be built up. Unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, I'm kind of ahead of you, and I got to bring you up to speed. So you see where I'm going and what's on my mind and what's on God's heart about this whole thing. Because we are about to make a tsunami wave in the kingdom of God. A tsunami wave in the kingdom of God. And those of you who think I'm crazy, I'm not the only person they thought was crazy who did great things for God. Okay? Let's all stand. I want you to have a happy and thankful Thanksgiving. I want you to eat anything that won't eat you and enjoy yourself. And there'll be more of you to love when I get back in town than there is today, if you eat the way I'm planning on eating. And remember that it's November and January is coming. Anybody here want to guess what happens in January besides the cruise? 21-day fast. I want you to start preparing yourself. I'm already preparing myself for that. Start psyching yourself up now, all right? Don't wait till January and then say, oh, I forgot to fast for 21 days. Be praying about it now. Be thinking about it now. That's what I'm doing. Get myself ready. I'm getting ready for cabbage and soup and water, you know, so that we can make it. And because I believe that 21-day fast we did last year had eternal consequences, and they'll do the same thing again this year. Amen? I love you guys. I'm going to miss you. Y'all take good care of yourself. Be kind to Reggie when he's here preaching for me next week. I'm so glad that he's coming. I know you'll enjoy him and his ministry. And so let's pray. Father, I thank you for this group of friends that you've given to me, Lord. And I call them friends because they are my friends. Thankful that, Lord, that we're not so big that I don't know everybody. Lord, I know everybody here by name. I know a whole lot about them, Lord. And as a fellow traveler, as a pilgrim with them, and in this place where you've put us, Lord, I thank you for every one of them. The joy that fills my heart each time I see them, the joy that they experience as they see one another, the joy that you've given to us is you assembled us together here at New Beginnings Church. We thank you, Lord. Father, let the message that we've heard today radiate within us, that today and this week and every day of our life, we'll be thankful to you for what you've done. Remind us that that we really kneel at the cross because of Jesus Christ. No matter what happens today or tomorrow, if you give us a tomorrow, we want you to know, Lord, that we love you above all things. You're the passion of our lives. You're what keeps us going, knowing you and loving you. Take care of each one of us until we get to see one another again. Keep us safe. Keep us healthy. Let us prosper as our soul prospers. In the name of Jesus, we pray together. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed in the Lord. Miss Liz?